Hey, I'm here.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was trying to find the link and it wasn't bringing me here. So,
Okay, now you want to know. Okay, I'm from
yep.
the start. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the Journey Artists Around the World. I am your host, Kiana the Artist. Journey Artists Around the World is a platform designed for artists to market their content and promote their crafts by showcasing their artistic talents, ability, gifts, and prowess. The platform also offers an opportunity for the audience to hear, learn, and get inspired through the program. We will open your mind to share and listen. It is also important for us to state the creativities who have overcome different struggles such as depression, drugs, determination, disability, and highly welcome men to come forward and share their life stories. So put your hands together for Mr. Scribes. How you doing tonight?
Doing fine. It was a long day today, but it rained most of today, but I am doing well.
Thank you. And can you tell your audience where are you from?
Originally was from New York City, born in the Bronx. Spent most of my life there, and in 1995, I relocated to Georgia.
Interesting. And can you please tell us more about your journey as a artist, a poet, and how your life been as an artist?
Wow, well, that's kind of interesting because I didn't think of myself as a writer. I didn't really start writing until I was over 50. So I'm 65 now. So that's been a journey of about maybe 14 to 15 years. And I don't know, the bug just hit me to start writing poetry. And I would just, on my lunch hour, on my breaks from when I was at work, I would just write out poems, and it ended up being about two, maybe 2 to 250 amount of poems that I had written. So now what do I do? I enjoy reading them and sharing them with family and friends, and that's pretty much as far as it went. But that's when I was getting into social media, and the internet was kind of it was there. But I was really tapping into it. I'm like, wow, let me see what's out here. And started searching the internet and found that there were a lot of groups that like poetry. There were people that posted their poems. And I just searched around and found Moontown Cafe was the group that I joined on Facebook. And was starting just to read other people's poems, learning about the different styles, and there's so many different styles of poetry. So I got up the nerve to post one of my early writings on the platform. The rule was you post a poem, you have to basically not critique in a negative way, but read somebody else's work and make comments, not just like, but kind of get into what you liked about it or what they could use to improve, because we wanted to improve as poets. So that's where kind of it all started. And doing that, I started to get a little bit of a following in the group and started to learn my voice. And, as the more I wrote, the more I was able to kind of gravitate to the type of poetry I was writing. Mostly it was free verse, but I did haiku. I did, not anagrams, but the I can't think of what the name is, but the name is when the title of the poem, each line in the poem is the title. But I forgot that. So I just tried all different styles of poetry. And a friend of mine, I shared with her that I was writing, and she said, "Well, why don't you write a book?" Never thought of that. And that journey led me to doing research again on the internet to find a publisher. Came to find out that the traditional publishers wanted tens of thousands of dollars in order to get published. And if you weren't established, there was really a very small chance that you would get discovered. So I touched base with a friend of mine in New York who had an independent publishing company, and that's where my first book got published.
Oh, wow.
And that was, yeah, that was the first book into my rotations, a collection of scribes. And from there, I had joined different, I was like part of a number of poetry groups. It started with one, but then it turned into like 5, 6, 7, or 8 different groups. And the one group I got involved with was Creative Talents Unleashed, who was the admin was, she was also an author. And what she was doing was helping people who wanted to get published. So she not only wrote poetry, she also helped authors get published. So she had a contest, you know, to submit your best work. I think it was 1 or 2 pieces. So I submitted 1 or 2 pieces the first time. And she said, well, I really like your poetry. And I published my second book through her. She drew up a contract. We signed the contract. I was able to get another one of my poetic friends to do the editing on the second book. And the second book was Journey to the Poetic Light, Illuminations. So that book got published maybe about 4 or 5 years after the first book, and still stayed with the group, still posted, still continued to write. And the third book, which is Life Between the Words, she gifted me with that particular contract. She said, you know, I'm going to just gift you and publish your book at no fee. So that's mm-hmm. how all three books end up getting published.
Interesting. So what would you say on the accomplishment that you're proud of through your books?
Just the fact that later in life, where I never saw it coming or never anticipated me writing, that within the span of maybe about, I would say from 9 to 12 years, I've published 3 books. And, you know, my words can be shared by me, seen by people. I've had a few book sales. You know, I've given away copies of my book. I've recited my poems in different places. I went to the Decatur Book Fair. I've recited my poems at different events. So that alone just took me to a place that I never thought I would really go.
Interesting. And can you please tell us more about the struggles that you have overcome so far, and what has enabled you to overcome such struggles?
Well, the struggle as an independent author is just marketing. My books are on Amazon, but you have to self-market. So I don't have the backing of a large publishing firm that pays money for you to do book signings and things of that nature. So that has been the key. But then I kind of thought about it and say, a lot of the work that I'm doing, yeah, it would be nice if I was to make a living as a writer, but I know that may or may not happen. But the fact that I can share my words, and it's kind of grown me as a person to get over some of the things. For example, the third book was a difficult book to write. My mother was diagnosed with cancer, and then she developed Alzheimer's. So before the book was published, she was in the midst of having dementia, and then it basically evolved into Alzheimer's. I had a daughter that I reconnected with, and my brother became very sick. So my daughter passed, my brother passed, and then during that time, my mother was doing chemo. And slowly but surely, as we all know what Alzheimer's does, you slowly forget. And we went from having conversations every day until she didn't know who I was. So that struggle, one of my ways I was dealing with it was to write. And the third book, I put a lot of my pain and a lot of my, and you know, struggles into those words. So that kind of helped me deal with what was happening around me.
Wow. Interesting. Condolences go to you. And what would be your advice to other poets facing a similar challenge that you have managed to overcome?
Well, the poets that I've met over the time that I've been writing, a lot of them write for that particular reason. A lot of them write because they're in pain and dealing with struggles, and basically putting words to paper and putting their thoughts gets a lot of that stuff out of them, which is always good. It's never, my mother used to always tell me, never keep things bottled in, because it adds to anxiety and it adds to stress. You have to have a way to release those things, because if you hold it in, it tends to be negative. You get a lot of anger, rage, and it can push you to a dark place. And you really don't, you know, dark places lead to what? Drinking, drugs, doing all kind of things that are not good for you. And it's not going to get you into a good place and kind of put you more into the, you get deeper into the darkness and it's harder to see the light. So you need to, if you're a poet, question yourself, well, why am I writing poems? Refine your craft. That's another thing. Don't just write. Learn about what, you know, learn about the techniques, learn about all the different things to do with poetry. And that'll keep you so busy that you somehow don't have time to get drawn into that darkness. And if you want to really write, be just be a writer or a poet or whatever, you need to continue to work on your craft. You don't really get good at anything unless you continue to do it. Because you need to, as a poet, each poet has their voice. And you, as you're writing and as you yourself, need to find what your voice is. And that tells you a lot about you and you become more self-aware.
Interesting. Thank you for that advice. So we know you have a poem for your audience tonight. Can you give us a little poem for tonight?
Yeah, I can. What I'm going to do is I'm going to, if I could, I would like to read one poem from each book. The first poem I'm going to read is from my first book, Into My Rotation, A Collection of Scribes. And the poem I'm going to read is called Life Rhythms. This book doesn't have chapters. It has rotations because I used to shoot pool, like 8-ball pool. And we used to get together every Friday and Saturday. So I would say to my friends, what's your rotation for this weekend? And that's kind of where the title from the first book came. So my rotation is things that's going on in my life are rotating around me when I wrote the book. So the name of this first poem is called Life Rhythm. Thoughts harmonic, major or minor keys, resonating in our heads, soft as smooth jazz or hard as heavy metal. We all move to the music of our existence. Let's float on the sound waves through the difficult stanzas. Some of you will choose to turn the music off. Many will constantly change the beat and tinker with the rhythm. Spend your life searching, reaching for the rhythm that gives meaning and balance to what sounds and feels right to you. Can we create a rhythm that will leave a legacy, or will not a single soul remember our life song?
Love it. Love that poem. Wow. Deep. So as a poet, what is it like to be on our platform, the Journey Artists Around the World podcast?
Just giving me the opportunity to reconnect with you, because I've been on one of your shows before, and to connect with people, not just in the continental United States, but all over the world. We know that there's a lot of different things going on in our world right now, a lot of chaotic things that's going on in our world. And to be able to share some of my words with people in different cultures, different countries, it's a way to connect. I mean, the internet, you know, even though it has negative connotations, there's a lot of positive things about it as well. We're on this platform and there are people listening all over the globe, and to have my voice travel over the world is a pretty awesome thing.
Yes, we love that. I know you have another poem for your audience.
Yes, I'm going to go to my second book, which is Journey to the Poetic Light. And where that came from was most of the poems that I had written had to do with light. And being a believer, everything has an end in light, because I have faith and believe that the victory is going to be ours at the end of the day. So this poem I'm going to read is, let's see. Oh, okay. The name of this poem is called Together. Opinionated rhetoric, upholding traditions, sequential solutions, funnel through the subway turnstiles, no choice of what train to catch, forced in with the pushing crowd, making every local stop, not wanting to get off. Ordered existence, subliminal manipulation, advertisement cover the walls, train announcements repeated over and over, over and over. Standing alone to be cornered by the status quo mob. Questions as why we are different. being slowly surrounded by a pack of conformity. Concede or fight. Just two options. No debate or negotiations. What is in your mind is wrong to the mob that watches, ready to judge and convict, to hang out, to hang you with your with their words. Pair with someone who shares your mind to stand against the hordes that would sway or slay you. This is a rare and beautiful weapon.
Yeah, snap on that one. Very fantastic. Yeah. Love that one. All right. If you was able to offer advice to the next generation poets who wish to become a well-known poets, what would it be? And what steps would you recommend them to take?
I would say write your experience. Even if it's dark, stay positive. I know that there's a lot of negative things. Our young people have a lot of things that they have to deal with, but you have to have hope. You have to, you know there's going to be storms, but you have to believe that the sun is going to shine after the storm passes. So just to give them hope. And my thing is, I hope your words bring hope in reference to what you're writing, but you're going to write to your experience. Everybody's experience is not sunshine and roses. A lot of people's experience are storms. So if you can relate that, people are going to be able to resonate with what you're writing. If you're going through a hard time, write. If you're a poem, express those feelings, because there's a lot of other people feeling the way that you do, but they may not be able to express it. So your words can kind of help them, just like music. Anybody can remember a certain song at a certain time in their life, and it makes them feel a certain way. Poetry is the same thing. So I would say continue to write, look for your voice, and whatever's inside of you that's not a lit or a light, get it out of you, because that's where the darkness starts.
Whoa, deep. Remember, follow your passion. All right. We know you have another poem for your audience again.
Yeah, I have the last one is Life Between the Words. And as I shared earlier in the broadcast, this book was difficult to write because, like I said, I lost my daughter unexpectedly. We have just reconnected and she was about to go to NYU. My brother passed away from complication of diabetes. And all during this time that this was happening, my mother was slowly sliding into Alzheimer's. So kind of those things, it didn't happen all at once, but over the course of time, it did. And the writing this book really helped me get through that very difficult time. And I'm going to read the actual poem. That's the title of the book, Life Between the Words. The story of you is being told. Woven in the fabric of words, your own and others, forming the garments of life you wear. Life is the garments that we see, the style and quality reflecting the personality. Words, the material that joins everything together, contemporary and classic. A choice to decide what will be the outfit for this day, corporate or jeans, flashy or conservative, your own style or that of others. Copying the popular and lost in the manipulation. You say you are unique, but the life between the words conveys something different. The lining is tattered and worn, so you keep it wrapped up so no one can see. Some of us have a seamstress eye to be able to discern the false image to be portrayed. These coverings, when you ponder, are only temporary. They cover, but will not rot. But they cover, but will rot away when you are no more. The way to wear your life in words as true as you can, revealing who you really are. So there is a quality throughout whatever the outfit that is presented. Life and words are needed to protect from the elements, to keep warm in the winter and shed with the summer heat. How to live and what words to use. Elite. Elegant life in words that need to be looked up, rancid, secular, and language that is offensive to the ears. Common, no risk, and quiet, so not to be noticed. For me, I would like for my life and words to be remembered, worn by others to understand the style and statement I wanted to make. But the style is your own to create. So take the time to put on what you choose to wear so it can be a joy to look at and be in.
Wow, interesting.
So that's kind of what I was speaking about as far as, you know, life between the words. Take your words and it intertwines with what you're experiencing and how you're living.
Deep. Interesting. We're so happy for you. And we're so happy for you to be on this podcast, the Journey Artists Around the World podcast. The last one is, how does your art impact the world? That's the last thing we have for you on tonight. How does it impact the world?
Just the fact that, you know, we all have cultural differences. We all have skin color differences. But words, poems kind of unite like music does. And we have many more things in common than we do differences. No matter where you're from, everybody's dealing with a certain thing in their life. Everybody is struggling with some things that might be different for you and I, but a lot of the stuff is basically similar. You know, some people have relationship issues. Other people have issues with addiction. Other people have issues with family. Other people have, so any one of us, our paths are intertwined. So all these differences and you're better than me and all this other stuff that we deal with is really insignificant and meaningless. I know it impacts your life, but you don't have to let it control you. Yeah, you might not be in the situation that you're in, but you have the choice that you can change it. So just being on this platform to share my words and my thoughts with people all over, that we have much more in common than we do different. I know people hear that quite often, but if you take the time and really look and listen to people's stories, you'll be really surprised how much more we are alike than we are different.
Well, interesting. I love that last one you said. But sometimes we don't know, but it's like when you sit down and listen to someone's story or listen to who they are, it blows you away. And like you said, you know, as an artist, you know, anyone can write something, but they got to know in deep down themselves, you know, what is their passion when they're writing and their goals and how they pursue it. So, yes. Yes. So we're so happy for you to be on the Journey Artists Around the World. Can you tell your audience where they can find you at?
I am all over social media. You can find me on Facebook, X, because everybody says Twitter, but it's X, LinkedIn. Really don't have a YouTube channel, but I'm mostly on Facebook and Instagram. I post, you know, on X, I post a lot of some of my poems there, and then I have my Facebook page. But in order for you, if you want to get my books or purchase my books, rather, you can go to Amazon. And my books are available on Amazon. You just search under my name, Nolan P. Holloway Jr. And you'll find my books. Or you can go to my website, which is really just simply my name, NolanPHollowayJr.com. And you can see a little bit about each book. You can also order the books through my website. And there's also a place where if you want to reach out and contact me, the post that I'm listening tonight, there's a section where you could put your email address, give me your name, ask me your questions. I'll be more than happy to respond and answer any questions that you may have. So reach out to me on my website and leave your information, you know, so we can keep this connection and this conversation going.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, my audience, for being on the Journey Artists Around the World podcast. I am your host, Kiana the Artist, and we're just so happy for you to come on tonight. You can catch us again on next week, Thursday at 9 p.m. for our next guest. So thank you, guys, and I'll say have a good night. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.